for Gideon. He's gathered people up from all around. And he's got, like I said, about 32,000 people there, men, ready to go to battle. But God tells him, hang on a minute here, Gideon. We've got too many people here. We've called quite a few. We've got this 32,000 that answered your call and have come to your side here, and that's great, but that's too many people for the job that I've got for you. So I want you to go back and talk to your men and let them know that anybody that's not comfortable with this battle that's upcoming, you're welcome to leave. There won't be any, no harm, no foul. If you want to go home to your families, that's great. You answered the call. You came, but you know, if you're afraid of something or you have some fears with this all, you can return to your homes. And about 22,000 of those men said, okay, sounds good, I'm out of here. Can't blame them. God gave them that choice. They made it, and they went on home. So now they're down to Gideon's down to about 10,000 men. God said, still too many. We don't need 10,000 people to do the job that I'm going to do for you. So God tells Gideon in this story here, have all the men come down to the watering hole, the river, and you keep an eye on them, you watch them, and make the difference between how they drink their water. So Gideon, being loyal and honoring to God, had his 10,000 people, his 10,000 men, come down to the river and instructed them, take a drink, I'm going to watch you. Now, I don't know about any of you, but when I start thinking about how I'm going to do something, my brain maybe, it's kind of like the, which way do you cross your arms, right over left or left over? Which leg do you put in your pants first? Okay, now I've got to try to figure out how I'm going to drink water. And somebody's going to watch me do it. This is an interesting part of this story here. So the men are down there and they're getting their drinks, and God said either the men will lap the water like a dog out of their hands, they'll scoop it up and drink it this way, or they'll kneel down and then stick their face basically down in the water and drink it that way. So watch them all, figure out who's doing what, separate them off to their different sides or different areas, and we'll go from there. So about 300 of the men lapped the water up. They scooped it up in their hands, lapped it up like that. God wanted those 300 men. He started with 32,000 men. 32,000 men. That's too many. 20,000 go home. 10,000 left. Too many. 300 are left. 10% of what started with. God says, that's who I want. Gideon said, okay. So many are called, few are chosen. We're all being called, and we'll see what our how we get chosen with this. When Gideon was gathering his armies. He sent out servants and sent out the message, the call, the invitation all across the area. He sent it to friends, family, the towns that were of his like thinking. Many were called. God wanted only a few, so those in the battle would know the win was from God. He didn't want this 30,000 men going to fight and thinking, hey, we're so strong, we've got this army that's great, it's awesome, we can do anything. No, he wanted this very small portion of the manpower to do the job. And he would be with them. He tells us that he's going to be with us. He proved it in this. Because they ended up doing the job that they were intended to do. Many are called, few are chosen. You know, it kind of comes back to the, we often think many hands for light work, right? Or many hands make light work. Well, that doesn't always work. It doesn't always do that. How many of you have ever been in the middle of a project and had three or four other people come up, let me help you with that, let me help you with that. I can do this, and then sticking their hands in there, and it just doesn't work. That's the way it was with God. God wanted a certain number of people. He wanted this group and to depend on him for that. All right, page 2. Remember, my brain doesn't work the same way as a lot of people. So let's go switch gears and go to Matthew chapter 22. I have, it's kind of a change of focus here, but maybe it's going to end up in my intended theme a little bit better, and maybe at the end of the day, you'll look at my view of the Gideon story as like, how'd that fit into anything over here, what you're talking about? Well, we'll hope that comes together. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, I'm sure that you're all, or most of you are familiar with these verses. It's a parable. It's the wedding banquet. In that set of verses, in verse 2, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son." And back in those days, weddings were put together by families. They weren't, I love Connie, let's go on a date, let's get married. No, it wasn't that way at all. It was families brought them together and said, this is going to work this way, okay? So, kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now, he's got the marriage all set up, and there's several steps to a Jewish wedding. There's the betrothal, and then I can't remember the middle, the second step. And then the wedding banquet comes up. The king he set up this wedding, this marriage, and they were going through the betrothal. And then the king sent his servants to call all of the bidden. And I had to look up that word. As to what is bidden exactly. That's the called. So the king called the kings called were being called. So the people that were invited were being invited to this party, this wedding banquet. But the first time that all these servants went out and invited all these people, the people that were being invited refused. They said, nah, we're not coming. King's servants came back. We tried. Nobody wants to come to your party, king. The king's servants were sent out a second time. The invited were being invited again. They were told, come on, come to this party. We're going to have a great time. Everything's ready. All you have to do is put on your wedding clothes. The meat is ready. Everything's ready. The party is ready for you to come. All you have to do is show up. And in Proverbs 9:2, chapter 9, Proverbs, verses 2 through 4. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. That's talking about wisdom right there. As she has mingled her wine, killed the beasts. It's the same thing the king did in this parable about this wedding banquet. He had killed the beasts. He had killed the cattle for the wedding banquet. He'd done all that he would... had needed to for this wedding to happen. All they had to do was come and enjoy it and wear their wedding clothes. Come to the party. But those people that were invited, the called people, the invited, the bidden people, continued to refuse. They chose to make jokes about the servants and about this king that was putting this party together, humiliate the servants. They beat them. And in some cases, they even killed them, killed some of the servants. When the king finally did hear back about this, he sent out his armies and destroyed the murderers and the people that were making fun and the jokesters. People that refused to come to him, destroyed the murders, and then burned their cities. There's a verse in Matthew 10:14 that talks about when, remember, my brain kind of goes off different directions. It seemed for me to make sense that way. But Jesus is telling in Matthew 10 his apostles to go out and go talk to these people and draw people in, invite them. And when you go to their houses, go all over the country. When you go to their houses, if they turn you away or it's not a good feel, turn around, walk away. Knock the dust off your feet as you leave. That's kind of what the king was saying in this parable. You don't want to come? Fine, but I'm done with you. And he went as far as to knock the dust off his feet. He burned their cities. But God isn't giving up. The king is who I mean in this story. The king isn't giving up. He wants everybody to come. Come to this wedding. He's got everything ready. You know, you think about that story. Back in those times, they killed the fatted cattle or whatever. They had all the animals ready. They had the food ready, is what it says in the scripture. Everything was ready. Well, they had to do it over and over again, didn't they? We've got this wedding planned, and nobody came. We've got this wedding planned, and they killed all my servants. So I killed them. Now we've got the wedding planned. Servants, go out and invite anybody that'll come, because we're not going to waste this stuff a third time. Bring them in. Get anybody here that can come. So the servants were sent out. This time they invited everybody and anybody to be part of this wedding. That's where we come in. We've been invited. Verse 10 of Matthew 22 says, the wedding was filled with guests. This is great. Wedding is filled. It was a party was going to happen. Was filled with all the people now that have been called. Not the first group of people, but now it's those others that were on the outside of that group. Now they're able to come in as well. Now, we've talked about a few different types of being called or invited to the party. In Gideon's army, his people were invited to stand and fight against their foe. It was a little bit of a different invite. But those people came and fought, or it was pared down. Gideon's called were his family, Israel, followers of the law. The king also was inviting his family and his community, those that should have known the importance of this wedding, the significance of it. But he ended up, the king had to go to a plan B, because those people that should have known all this chose not to. They chose to refuse it. They chose to refuse the gift of this wedding party. So the king went to plan B and invited anybody and everybody. All you have to do is show up. And then be a part of the party, a part of the family. Put on the proper clothing for the wedding. So, party was there. Party was full, all filled up, but there was a problem. When the king came into the banquet hall, he saw a man not wearing the proper wedding garments. And the king asked him, "Hey, buddy. Don't know what to think here, but did you happen to notice you're not where something's different here? You know, one of these things is not like the others." I'm kind of guessing that man was, it says he was speechless. Kind of one of those, moments. Let me give you a little bit of a backstory about the wedding banquets. At this time, people knew what you needed to wear for a wedding banquet. You had to, and this still goes on, you have to be modestly dressed. Generally speaking, you wear white or light colored to signify the purity of this wedding that's happening. And men had to wear, I not sure what they call it. It was some sort of a hat or a headpiece. But if you didn't have that stuff, that clothing, the appropriate clothing, and you were invited to the party, the host would give you the stuff. He would give you the clothes to put on, the hat to wear. This man chose not to do that either. Yeah, I'm good. Don't know whose head's been in that. I don't know that for, you know, that's what, it's not in the story there. So my brain's working that way again. You're expected to wear the clothing. This man chose not to. He chose not to. Just like the original people that were invited chose not to come. He chose to come because he was in for a free party. Right? He chose not to wear the clothing that was there, though, that was appropriate. He opted not to, or to disregard that kind of law or rule of the wedding banquet. So what happened? Well, the king doesn't take kindly to that. The king had that man bound hand and foot and threw him out into the dark. Party, all the bright lights and everything are in here, and that man's on the outside in the dark. Away from the city. In Proverbs, they're talking about the party and having the wisdom there. We're all called to the wedding banquet that God has prepared for us. Everything's ready. As in Proverbs 9, everything's ready. The wine has been mingled, whatever that means. I have an idea of it, but it's been mingled. I'm guessing that the jars have been opened up. The meal has been cooked. The fragrances are there and flowing around. Everything's ready. It's easy. All we have to do is accept the invitation, come to the party, wearing the proper clothing. A robe of righteousness. And if we don't have that when we come to the party, accept it from the host. He'll give it to us openly and freely. Here's your gown. Here's your robe. And that robe has that righteousness in it because of the king's son who died for us and washed that robe so we can be covered with it. The king's son, Jesus. All we have to do is accept that gift, accept that robe, or another way it's kind of an easy way. We just go for the free party and not accept the gift. And then we meet the king, God, in that speechless moment. After he asks, "Why aren't you wearing the clothes?" And we'd be speechless. And where will we go from that? Out into the dark. Bound. Hand and foot. And thrown into the darkness. Where there's weeping, gnashing of teeth. I choose to accept the gift. Let me close with Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We're invited to come to the party. We're being given the clean linens, the robe of righteousness. All we have to do is put it on. Stand and we'll close with hymn number 382, Amazing Grace.